Greetings again. It's Pastor Bob, and it's your Jesus story for today. Just for you. Just for today. And we'll be finishing up our ninth Jesus story, the miracles of Jesus today. And we want to get right at it. It's Wednesday. It's our middle Sabbath. Amen. It's a blessed day. It's a day of glory to God. And we're going to read where we left off yesterday and then get right into today's finishing up of the stories of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. Amen. So let's prepare ourselves to hear these words of truth. Yesterday, last paragraph was this, and then we'll just segue right in to today. Matthew, the tax collector, did not think he was so righteous that he had no need to repent. He knew that he had sinned, and he was humble. But the Pharisees, well, they could see no flaws in themselves, and they were proud. Thus, they could not see that their need to repent was even greater than that of the self-admitted sinner, Matthew. And we begin today's section. For some time, they were satisfied with Jesus' reply. Then they thought of something else to complain about. They went to Jesus and said, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And also the disciples of the Pharisees. While your disciples do not fast and seem always to be eating and drinking. Can you expect the wedding guests to fast and mourn while the bridegroom is with them?" Jesus asked in return. "As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot and should not fast. But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then will they fast." The Pharisees did not know quite what to make of this, and they went away to think of further cause for complaint against Jesus and his followers. But what Jesus had meant was that he himself would one day be taken from his disciples, and then indeed would they pray and fast. It was not altogether true that the disciples of Jesus were always eating and drinking, in spite of what the Pharisees had said, for they were simple men of scanty means, and in their travels with Jesus through the countryside, they often went hungry. Tax collectors did not often invite them home to dine, nor were there inns in the desert places where they often taught. On a certain day, it happened that their way led through some grain fields. The disciples had not eaten for some time, so they began, as they went through the tall grain, to pluck the ripe ears, rub off the chaff, and eat. The watching Pharisees, always with them, again had comments to offer. "Behold," they said to Jesus, "why do your followers do on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful to do?" For they regarded this simple action of the disciples as a crime, that of working on the Sabbath day. To Jesus, what the Pharisees had done to the day of rest was little short of ridiculous. Under their teachings, the Sabbath had become so enmeshed in a web of law and ritual that it was a day of torment rather than rest. But he answered patiently and with quiet logic. "Have you never read in the scriptures what David did when he had need and was hungry, as were those who were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the sacred bread, which is only lawful for the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? Or do you not realize that even the priests in the temple work on the Sabbath, offering sacrifices in the morning and the evening? Yet you hold them guiltless, even though they work. And this I say to you, something greater than the temple is here, something greater than the Sabbath. The Lord desires mercy and not sacrifice. If you would only understand, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. That indeed was something that they did not understand. As the Lord on earth, Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath, as well as everything else. This was beyond their understanding, and always would be. To them, Jesus of Nazareth was only a man. Well, Jesus and his disciples made their way back to the city and went again into the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. The scribes and the Pharisees watched eagerly to see whether Jesus would heal the man on the Sabbath day so that they might once again accuse him. And again, Jesus knew their thoughts. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Rise up, stand forth in their midst." The man stood up and faced Jesus before all the silent watchers. According to the Pharisees, even healing was work, and not the sort of work that Jesus could justify by quoting from the scriptures or pointing to the priests. And so they waited to see what Jesus would do on this Sabbath day with the man whose hand was withered. "I will ask you one thing," Jesus said to them. "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? Is it good to save life or to kill?" They were silent, waiting. They could not answer him. Jesus went on, "What man is there among you that shall have one sheep which falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, who would not lift it out? And of how much more value is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath days. Stretch out your hand." Jesus looked around the hall, his heart grieving at the hardness of the Pharisees' hearts. But the man, believing, stretched out his hand. And in that moment it was restored to health and was as whole as the hand that had not been withered. The Pharisees were filled with fury. They left the synagogue together to take counsel with each other and with certain of the lords of Herod's court as to how they might curb this dangerous lawbreaker. The best idea seemed to be to destroy him, but that seemed a little harsh. As for Jesus, he left the city before they had made up their minds and withdrew with his disciples to the shores of Galilee. Sometime after these events, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem to celebrate it. Now, there was at this time in Jerusalem, as in the days of old, a pool named Bethesda near the Sheep Gate. Around it, as Jesus saw, there lay a multitude of sick folk, blind, lame, diseased, and withered of limb. And all were waiting for the moving of the water. It was said among them that an angel of the Lord went down into the pool at certain times and stirred the waters, and that the first one who stepped into the waters after they had been troubled would be cured of whatever disease he had. So they waited, each one hoping and praying that he would be the first to move at the stirring of the waters by the angel. There were some among them who could barely move, so that their chances of reaching the pool before the others were very slight. Thus, there was a certain man lying beside the pool who had been ill for 38 years. Each year, he struggled to the pool to see the moving of the waters. And each year, he failed to reach the water in time. There were always others before him. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been in that condition for many years, he approached the man and he said, "Do you wish to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I do. But I have no one to help me into the pool when the waters are stirred. Always, while I am on my way, another steps down into the pool before me." "Rise, take up your bed and walk," Jesus said to him. And even as he spoke, the man was cured. He arose, took up his bed, and walked away with gratitude in his heart. Now, it was the Sabbath on that day, and those who saw him carrying his pallet stopped him and said, "It's the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to be carrying your bed." The cured man, well and happy for the first time in 38 years, looked at them and said, "He that made me whole again said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.' And I did so." The scribes and the Pharisees among the Jews soon found out who had told the man to do this thing, and their outrage knew no bounds. Again, Jesus had healed upon the Sabbath day. And this time, he even told a man to carry his own bed to work upon the day proclaimed by God as the day of rest. They taxed Jesus with this dreadful thing that he had done. He calmly answered, "My Father is still working, even on the Sabbath, and I am working too." From that day on, the Pharisees began to persecute Jesus without mercy. He had not only broken their law by doing these things upon the Sabbath day, but he had also claimed that God was his own Father, making himself equal with God. They resolved, therefore, to kill him when they could find their chance. And that concludes story 9 of our 24-part Jesus stories, The Miracles of Jesus. And tomorrow, we begin Jesus story 10, a little something called the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. Until then, may blessings rain down. And water your seeds.